Now, this is one of those parables that is a little bit difficult to understand. It's a wedding. There are so many questions as to why this, why that. Why do they have to keep watch? Why does the door close? It's all different from where we come from or over here, for example. So just a little bit of a background, and before we get into that, just an example. So for example, if you're watching a movie and there's this, you know, it's building up, there's somebody who has been wounded or hurt or died, and then there's this person who's going to reveal who the person is who committed the crime. And that person's injured too. Everybody's injured. And just at that point when that person's going to say who that person is, he dies. It's so frustrating. Last words are important. And this parable is one of those last words that Jesus says to his disciples, to his people. And he's very keen on wanting to say the things that he wants to before he leaves. So we have to listen carefully to his words. Now in this parable, there are these 10 ladies who are waiting in their beautiful dresses with their lamps. And they have been invited as bridesmaids. Now over here, it is still an honor to be a bridesmaid in somebody's wedding. But I think in the culture at that time, there was a couple of steps higher in terms of honor. And it was something that was not meant to be taken lightly. And they were fully prepared for it. Now, there's a lot of drama that's happening in here. There's no sense of time, and the bridegroom is going to come. So they're waiting, they're ready, time goes on, and it's night. And obviously, there's no electricity then. So they're waiting with their lamps. Can you just show the picture of the lamp? The one just before, yeah. They're waiting with something might look like this. And it's still burning. It's still lighted. They're still waiting for the bridegroom to come. Now, where is this bridegroom? I mean, over here, if somebody says, okay, the wedding starts at 11, wedding starts at 11. But there are in some other countries where it's a loose time. So I imagine, not just because of the time, but perhaps the bridegroom was from another village or he was coming from further away and there might be some mother-in-laws getting ready, whatever might be the case. It took time to come. And so the bridesmaids waited. Now, the story, the parable says there were 10 bridesmaids waiting. And 5 of them came really ready with their lamps, extra oil, because they have no idea when this bridegroom is going to come, so oil will run out. And there were 5 of them who came kind of ready, but they didn't have extra oil with them. And at some point, they realized that they were going to run out. So they went and asked the others, oh, can we take some of their oil? Now, I think pouring out oil from that is going to be difficult. And they have some with them. It's nighttime. Shops are closed probably. They're not going to get extra oil. So they said, no, they're not, they can't give it because they need it for themselves as well. So they run off looking for oil. And meanwhile, the bridegroom comes, the celebrations start, they all walk in a procession, they go into the banquet, and the door is closed. Now, why is the door closed? Over here, we still have people coming at different times, perhaps, but the door is never closed. You know, it's still open, people come in. You know, back in India, we have like a big auditorium where the first batch comes in, eats, and then you're pushed out of the way, and the next batch comes in, eats, when there are thousands coming. So the doors are never closed. But why is it closed over here? Now, I'm not a scholar or a theologian, but I can guess probably that the door is closed because there are robbers around that might want to come and steal the gifts or even steal the bride, who knows? So that's why probably the door is closed. If you have another reason, come and tell me later. So that's why the door is closed. And when the bridegrooms come back, maybe they got oil, maybe they didn't. The wedding banquet master says, I don't know you. The door's closed. We can't open. Now, this is just a little bit of a background, picking on different things that when I was reading it, I thought, this doesn't make sense. Why is this? So I've just tried to answer the questions that didn't make sense to me. And I'm going to hand it over to Pamela, who will bring some application point to it.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to move this one out of the way because we're going to try something a little bit interesting to let's illustrate these points. So I need my husband for this. And we have some visual aids coming out just as he's going to set up. I want us to think a little bit, what might it mean to keep watch and be ready? Because obviously all 10 bridesmaids were ready a little bit, and some of them were fully prepared. So what's the difference, and how are we fully prepared and not just like half-hearted in our preparation? Man, is Joan in the house? Because this is like child protection. I'm terrified. It's all good. We're safe, honestly. A bit further. I want to make it really, really risky. Oh, that's too close. A bit further. But yeah, that's good. Right, you see, look, I wore this skirt on purpose today because I can't like stretch my legs any further. So I'm going to get somebody who's much more flexible than me to come and illustrate this. It's not that I'm scared. Erin is our gymnast in the house. So let's imagine, we've got people holding, look at that. They really care about you. Let's imagine this side is our relationship with God, and this side is everything else that might tempt us or distract us or get in the way of that. You know, computer games, Netflix, binging, all those kind of things. The things that happen, the things we face every day in our work situations, at school, in our homes, the things that want to take our attention away from God. So, Erin, can you put a foot on each bottom step, please? Often, especially for us in the church, we grow up maybe coming to church all the time, and we're doing all those sort of things, we're ticking all the boxes. And Mark, we're going to come to Mark's sermon last week because it was so good, I'm going to like try and repeat it again today. But we read our Bible, we pray, we keep the Sabbath, we have things in our practice, but also we're going to school. Maybe you see people bullying or teasing another friend in school, and you join in, you laugh a little bit. Oh, look at his trainers. And you just go along with what they're doing, or you don't say anything. So you don't like stand up for the person that's being hurt, or even you just walk away. These are natural things that we're afraid to like stand out and be different. So let's just go up another step, Erin. It's now getting a little bit more tricky if we're trying to do both at once. We're trying to like let's live like our friends live. Let's go to all the places they do. Let's watch the things they watch. But we better go to church on Sunday. You know, we want God to like us. So maybe another thing that distracts me, our devices. I'll just play one more game. I'll just watch one more reel. I'll just flick over Netflix. Oh, I love this series. I'll just watch another episode. And these are not wrong things to do necessarily, but they just keep us maybe a little bit unready. We're not focusing on God. We're not focusing on the things that he asks us to do. We could be, I'm not saying we should be like sitting praying all the time, but we could be maybe going and visiting somebody who's lonely, writing a letter to somebody who's feeling a bit sad, ill for someone. I could really go on and there we go. I just got me off like what I say. I could go, you know, I could make us all feel really guilty. Oh no, I'm not a good enough Christian. That's terrible. I don't do the things. Couldn't go up another step. But it starts to get a very delicate balance. You can see where it's going. Can you go up another step? Because it's going to be funny. And you know, I wish we had really, really tall ladders that went right up, because at some point she's going to run out of leg. And it's all going to be a little bit of a disaster, because you can't keep going on choosing both things. And one of the things Mark said last week, is Mark's slide up there? Can we look at it? I've immortalized your drawing. Oh, it's not very clear, I'm afraid. But you can see the done, and he first of all wrote do. So there's a lot of things that we try to do, maybe to make God feel a bit happier with us. Oh, if I do this, he'll like me, and when I do something else, oh man, I've really upset him today. And we think he's sitting like watching with his little tick box going, tick, oh, that's a good one today. Oh yes, she prayed this morning, good. Oh no, she watched that series again, seriously? But that's not how God is with us. He just wants to know us. He wants to love us. He wants to pour his life into us. And Mark talked about full life 2.0. And ultimately, we're heading for 3.0. But that 3.0 can start now, because we have his Spirit available to come and live within us. But what about, I was like those people without that oil, it really troubles me. I'm like, why would those people not share? I say, you know, if I was there, I want to give them some of my oil because I'm so nice. And then I was thinking, if I meet God and I go to him and say, but my mommy loved you. My mommy prayed to you, and my mommy was a really good woman, and she brought me up to be good. He's going to go to you, and what about you? So it's kind of like that in my wrestling with this in this week. He's not interested where I get that. I can't go to my mom and say, give me your faith. Faith isn't a secondhand thing. Faith is a personal, intimate relationship, one by one. So I can't go, oh yeah, now, you know, Mark's a really good preacher, and I went to his church, so can you let me in because he was there? God's going to go, hold on a minute. I don't know if you know that, like some of the Narnia stories. Somebody's chatting to Aslan. I can't remember which of the kids it is. And then one of the other kids goes, well, what are you saying to him? And it's like, that's not your story. Your story with me is your story with me. And my story with Martina is my story with Martina. My story with Joshua is my story with Joshua. He just wants to get to know us. So we do have to make a decision. We can't just keep trying to balance. Let's do a little bit of world stuff. Let's do a little bit of God stuff. Of course we have to live in the world. Of course we have to go to work. Of course we're going to be confronted with things that people are watching. They go, come watch this. And sometimes we have to say, I don't want to watch that. That's not actually very nice. Or we have, you know, they'll go, oh, let's go beat him up behind the bike sheds. You go, no, actually, that's not very nice. And you stand up for the person. Go, no, I'm going to go and stand up for him. And it's not just about making decisions about those kinds of things, although that is really part of it. But God wants us to jump. Can you go to that side? Give the ladder a bit of a hug. He wants us to cling. He just wants us to lean into him. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make these mistakes, that we're not going to sin, that we're not going to get it really badly wrong, but he just wants us to keep coming. Keep coming back. There's not going to be a shortage of oil from God. He is fully equipped with bucket loads, tank loads, and the oil in the Bible often meant his Spirit. Just says, keep coming, keep on asking. Just as we get to a close, I was going back. There's a man that went to Jesus, and he said, what do I need to do to be ready? Basically what he was saying, but he used the words, to have eternal life. And Jesus said, oh, keep the commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I've done all that. And then Jesus said to him, go and sell everything you have and give the money to the poor. And the man said, I can't do that. That's too much. And I think what that parable is getting at is, what's the thing that you're loving most that's getting in the way of your love for God? And that's the thing. He doesn't ask us to give up money necessarily or computer games, thankfully. But he asks us to put him in number one seat for his attention and his love. And to want to, if you love somebody, you really do want to please them. You want to do things for them to make them happy, to make them sense that you enjoy being in their presence. Even when you're not in their presence, you're going to maybe be thinking of them, apping them, writing them, making a card, doing a drawing, whatever it is. Because love pours out in action. And I think often in the church, maybe beyond the church, we think Jesus is just a means to an end. Oh, I'll get to heaven when I die, but now I can just do what I like. But actually, he is the means, and he is the end. He's the one that we're going to be standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. And that's, I don't feel like that sometimes. I just think, oh yeah, that's not going to be great. And then other days I think, wow, that is just going to be awesome. And I think he just wants us to get to that point where we're going more and more often, oh, that's going to be awesome. And we can't do it on our own. That's the other thing. We can't do it just by ticking all the boxes. And I sometimes wish we could, because that would be a lot easier. The do bit always seems a bit easier than accepting that he's done it and he just wants to love us. So we're going to, in a sense, do a confession now through a song, but also just reaffirming. You may not be ready for this, but if you are ready for it, just reaffirming to say to him, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Because I keep wanting to go on to this step, and then I keep wanting to come back onto this one. I want to do both, but ultimately, I'm going to run out of ladder, so I'm going to have to make a choice. So let's stand. I think there's something about standing in the presence of God. And we use, thank you, Erin. Still alive. We sing, teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. That's what he's looking us to do. Fall on him. Because he's our hope. And he's our stay. So this is a moment of surrender and confession in a song.